Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I'm going to speak from one letter, not one word, one letter in this verse. One letter. And that's capital F. Capital F in Father. That is the only time that the letter F with the word Father is capitalized in the Old Testament. The only time. And it's prophecy of Him that was to come. Prophecy of Jesus. And when it's prophecy of Him and referring to Him as Father, F is capitalized. Now I'm going to speak to you today on the thought of capital F. Capital F. And I'm going to tell you where I got it. It blessed my soul, and I trust that it will bless you this morning. God bless you. You may be seated. You're such a wonderful, wonderful group of people. Praise God. The letter F is just in prayer and scripture reading. You know, your ministers, you know that you usually live with a prayer in your soul. Whether you're driving the streets or wherever, you're in meditation, prayer, and in thought. You get through preaching one sermon, you're already studying about the next one. In this procedure, in my pastoral life, when I was a pastor, I thought of capital F. That's very unusual. And I just kindly brushed it aside, never thought too much about it, but whenever I'd get to meditating and praying and thinking again, I'd think of capital F. And it continued to the extent that I went to the Lord in prayer about it, praying. And then I thought of this verse of Scripture that I read to you. And I read it, got my Bible and read it. And when I come to Father, I noticed Father was capitalized. And I prayed about that. Now, you may have found it somewhere else, but I found it in prayer and in study. And then I just turned to my concordance and I looked up the word Father in the concordance. And then I went down the list of all the verses that the concordance referred to with the word Father in it. And I noticed in the Old Testament, the only time that the word Father was capitalized was in this verse. Then I went into the New Testament, and every time He was referred to as Father, it is capital F. And my, that intrigued me. I began searching and searching, and I found in my searching that the Lord was not a father in the Old Testament in relation. He was Father in creation. In creation. And when He's referred to as Father in creation, it's never capitalized. If you want to, you turn to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. And then Malachi 2 and 10. In Malachi 1 and 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, the Lord speaking, if then I be a father, and it's little f, it's little f, it's not capitalized. One is really not a father until he fathers a son or a daughter. No one is a father until they father a child. And God was not a father in relationship until he fathered a son. Now, in the Old Testament, he was father, but as mentioned already, it was in creation. Notice Malachi 2 and 10. Have not we all one father? Little f. We all have one father in creation. He created all of us, every one of us. And he is our father in creation, but in the Old Testament, not in relationship. Not in relationship, but in creation. And there's a difference in creation and relation. Now, you and I are graciously blessed today that we can refer to him as Father in relation. Not just creation, but relation. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful to me. And I thank God for it. Now, in the New Testament, he's referred to, I'm reluctant to say it because I don't want to be misunderstood, but it's a new name. It's in the Aramaic form. It's Abba, Father. Abba. That's in the Aramaic form. Now, you study that, you'll find that that means my Father. And when Jesus was praying in the garden, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That's Abba, Father. Then it's referred to twice in the New Testament, referring to you and I, as we are his children and can say, Abba, Father, because, listen, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, capital F. We are no doubt the children of the living God by birth, not just by creation, but we are his children by birth. Praise God. If you could realize that this morning, it would inspire you now, and it'd be worth worlds to you when you're on the foreign field. You're not an orphan down there. No, sir, you're not an orphan. He goes with you. You are his child. Now listen at Galatians, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, capital F. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you follow me in referring to Him in the New Testament as Father. Now, I prove to you, and you go to your own concordance. You can even now while I speak to you, if you want to. And just go down it, and all you'll find is little f, little f, little f, until you come to Isaiah 9 and 6, and it's capitalized because it's prophecy of Him that was to come, the everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. Now, listen to this. John says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But the prelude to that is, behold what manner of love the Father, capital F, the Father hath bestowed upon you, bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Praise the Lord. You never hear one of us refer to ourselves as a son of God. But the Scripture does. The Scripture does. And I'm not out of order when I shall look at you and tell you I'm a son of God. I've been born of his, in his family. His son. That's who you are. A son of God. Praise the Lord. I was told Brother Bill Dross, way down in Columbia, when he went there as a missionary in his early days, he met a lot of opposition, just like all missionaries do. And so every morning he'd get out on the streets, walking up and down the street, just telling the devil, nobody else, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm not down here by myself. My Father is with me. Praise the Lord. He promised to be with me. And He is with me. And He is my Father. And it makes a lot of difference when He becomes your Father by relationship. Why didn't all of you go to the airport yesterday and see Brother and Sister Sism's son off to Scotland? Why didn't you go? He went. Why didn't you go? I'll tell you why you didn't go. He wasn't your son. But if he'd have been your son, then your son leaving St. Louis for Scotland for an unlimited time, you'd have been right there to see him off. And you understood when Brother and Sister Sism went. You had no qualms about it. You had nothing to say about it. You didn't blame them. You're glad they went. Brother Rodenbush told us all where they were. And we were thankful. We were glad. I told Sister Glass, thank God, his son and their son is consecrated to the extent he's working in the missions division. I know it makes Brother and Sister Sism happy. Why did he go? That's his son. Let me tell you, friends, when you go to the airport to go to your field, your Father's going with you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He's going with you. You're his son. He's your Father. Praise God. Not just away off yonder somewhere. No, He's your Father that loves you more than anyone else could ever think about loving you. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. He's not going to let you get on the plane and then tell you goodbye. And He's going back home and let you go alone. No, sir. He's going to get on the plane with you. He's going to sit down with you. He's going to fly over there with you. And when you get there, He's still going to be with you. You're His son and daughter, and He's your Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Capital F. That thrilled me so. Now, I never got this out of no book of sermons. I don't get much out of book of sermons, unless they're by Pentecostals. I don't read denominational preacher sermons and preach them and then preach them into hell.
That's all right.
I don't, Brother Holmes. I sure don't. And I hear a lot of preachers get sermons. I know where they got them. And then they'll turn right around and preach that preacher into hell, and they're preaching his sermon. And that's inconsistent with me. I like to... Oh, if you just knew how I received this, you'd rejoice with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. Listen to this. When you pray... Disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And I may not ought to talk too long on this. I'll ruin maybe the thought that I'm kind of planning to use or thinking about using. But if I talk much right here, I'll ruin it. But there's a lot more to talk about. But there's just a lot that you and I need to learn about prayer that we don't know. We think prayer just going to the prayer room, getting down on our knees, and talking to God, but prayer's more than that. And there's just a lot that we're taught to pray for that if we understood it a little better, we might understand why we were taught to pray. For instance, this. Jesus said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers on his harvest field. Behold, the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few." Well, if we don't watch, we can be very inconsistent here. Do you think for one moment that we got to beg the Lord fast and beg the Lord to send laborers on the field to save souls? Do you think we're more interested in that white harvest field than he is? Do you know why he tells you to pray for the Lord to send forth laborers? If you pray sincerely enough and really want some laborers on that harvest field, you'll go. And that's why he told you to pray. That's why he didn't tell you to necessarily pray for me to go. Which you can, and you will, and you do. You pray for others. He said for you to. But his purpose for it, he just understood that. He's far more interested in that wheat that's fallen on foreign soil than you and I are. But why did he tell you to pray? If you pray earnest enough, you'll do something about it. He said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Anyone that'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem wouldn't do one thing to disturb that peace. But if you won't pray, you likely will. We need to learn a lot about prayer. Jesus didn't go to the Garden of Gethsemane with any thought that he's going to change the plan of God and pray and let this cup pass from me. No. No, sir. Had no thought of it. He said, "To this end was I born." You know why he went to pray? To yield to the perfect will of God. And that's why you and I ought to pray more and more and more. You will not live in the will of God without prayer. And I'm going to say this. There's not too many preachers now that just go here and there more than I do. I thought I was going to retire when I retired from pastoring 10 years ago. And I haven't even slowed down. I just changed. Brother Barnes said he heard when I retired from pastoring, and he said, "I didn't like it, Brother Glass." And I went to the telephone and I picked up the receiver and going to call you and tell you not to do it. And he said, "When I picked up the receiver, God said, 'Leave him alone. I've got a work for him to do.'" And I've been a working ever since. Ever since. Haven't had one revival, not one, but preached nearly all the time. Here, there, round about. Up to where I won't schedule anything ahead. I just wait. When I get home, there'll be a call. And I'll get 1, 2, or 3 days to come over here and here and here. And I'm gone. Here and there. And being an old man and been in the ministry a long time, preachers and even preachers' wives confide in me. And I find a lot of them struggling living in a parsonage. Oh, it's against their will, and they're unhappy, and it makes it hard on their husband, pastor. You know, all they need to do is get off somewhere and pray and pray and pray. Pray for me or pray for anybody else. Pray for anybody they want. Just pray sincerely. And when they're praying, they'll begin to yield to the will of God. And when they yield to the will of God, they're going to be one of the happiest ladies in the world in the work of God. Now, I don't know the hearts of you missionaries. The devil don't know. Only God knows. But there may be some dear, precious, darling missionary's wife who he's called, but she isn't. And she's going because she's married to him. But in her heart, she don't want to go. She just dedicating herself for his sake. Married him, and Brother Stairs used to say, when you married him for a missionary or anything else, and really, you did. And you're wanting to be faithful in all. But I'll tell you this, if you'll just learn to pray and seek God, you'll be able to yield to the will of God and be happy in doing it. You'll be happy in it. That's the only way we can stay happy in the will of God is to pray. Pray, 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 pray. I tore up that sermon, haven't I? I like this. I like this. God said to Ananias, go down on Straight Street and pray for Saul of Tarsus. Oh, Lord, that's the man that plays havoc with the church. That's the man that was coming to Damascus to destroy us, the Lord said. Ananias, he's a praying. Oh, if he's praying, I'll go. I'm not afraid of no one that'll pray. Oh, sir. But boy, when they stop praying, they sure get cranky and cantankerous and hard to deal with. Pastoring the church and somebody getting that spiritual condition, I try to get them to pray and seek God before I even tried to talk to them. You can't do anything with anyone that won't pray. But when they pray, their hands are up. Praise the Lord. Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Here's what I like. Here's what I like. Jesus said, when you pray, say, say. Some of you tell me what he said, say. Heavenly Father, look at that F. Look at that F. It's not a little F. Look at that F. When you pray, if you could just realize, down there on that mission field, maybe the other side of the world, you don't know where your field supervisor is. You really don't know. You don't know where your missions director is. And you feel so alone, and you steal off somewhere to pray. When you kneel, get down on your knees and say, Our Father, Our Heavenly Father, capital F. You're not going to a great supreme being that created the heavens and the earth and sits way off yonder on a throne somewhere. That's all true. That's all true. But you can kneel in his presence with this consolation, this beautiful thought, and you're thinking, I'm coming to my Father, one that loves me. I meditating on this, and I thought, of course, he's my pastor now, 53 years of age, oldest son. He got out of high school, hadn't been away from home hardly any. Oh, my, I thought he's the only son in the world, just like you do, just like Brother Rodenbush thinks about Robin. He just about got me thinking it. I love that boy so much. But he went off to Bible school with he's up there a little while. I got a long-distance call. The operator said, Reverend Glass, have a collect call from George. Yes, yes, I'll take it, operator. I didn't even let her finish. That's my son. Didn't even let her finish. Collect. I'd have resented anyone else calling me collect. I've had them do it. I've even had pastors call me collect, ask me to go preach them a revival. I have. Tell you the truth, I've had it all. Praise the Lord. But that call was coming from a very particular one. Very particular. And I was so anxious to hear from him. The price of the call didn't mean a thing. That son calling. I don't care where you are when you place a call to heaven. He's on the line. He's waiting. He's waiting. He wants to hear from you. You're his child. And I'll tell you this, you don't love yours nearly as much as he loves his. Behold, what manner of love. He didn't say, behold, what love. What manner of love. The Father, capital F, has bestowed upon me and upon you that we should be called the sons of God. Praise the Lord. And when you pray, when you pray, get down with this wonderful consolation in your heart that you're coming to your Father. You are not an orphan. This comes to my mind for the first time, and I can't remember. I was a small boy, just a small boy. We lived in a little country town south of the Ritter. A little town is done away with now. We've been living in the Ritter since I was a middle teenager. This was before. There was a telegraph operator that had a Model T Ford. That was a big car back in those days. Some of you never saw one, never will. But you don't know what you missed. You ought to have cranked one, broke your arm, like I did. This telegraph operator had a Model T Ford. There was a man in Fulton, this little town about 25 miles south of the river, that wanted to go. He told the operator, just between Fulton and DeRitter. There's a little place called Longdale. The community is still called Longdale. He got the operator to send him, and the operator got me to drive the car. He couldn't get loose to drive it, called me to come drive the car. Well, I'm a guy, you know, a boy, he gets a thrill to drive a car. And when we got started, the man said he wanted to go on to DeRitter. Well, if I'd have been on the toes like I ought to have been, I'd turned around, went back, and told Mr. Goss, the man in the operator that sent me, that he's not going to Longville. Longville just a short ways up here. DeRitter's 25 miles. And back then, 25 miles on a gravel road and the Model T's a long ways. But I didn't know no better than just take him on to the river. It's getting late at night. I actually went to cry and wish my daddy was there. That's how little I was. Wishing for my daddy. He'd have been there, I'd have felt like I was as safe as I would have been if I was at home. My daddy was just there. My father was just there. Well, I'm saying that to tell you, I don't care where you're going to be, on the road, at home, in the mission field, or where, your father's going to be there. He's going to be there. Don't worry. He's going to be right there, looking after you. You got nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Praise God. He's going to take care of his own. And when you pray, if you pray sincerely, he hears you before you even start. Praise God. Praise God. Your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. How many of you in this beautiful missionary class, how many of you have lost your father, your earthly father? See, I know how you felt. I know how you felt. I don't care. I don't care how old you are. You still love Dad. I passed in the church, and this is even before he got in the church. I went home one day, and I said, Dad, I'd give anything in the world if I could pull off my shoes and come home and be your little barefooted boy again. And you may have never said that to your father, but you thought it. You thought it. And I'll never forget when he left. He was in church Sunday morning. This is after I was back in Dewitter, passed in church in Dewitter. He got saved while I was there. He was sitting over here while I was preaching. I even remember what I was preaching. Preaching on the sons of God, just like I'm preaching to you, not this subject. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That was my subject. He said, oh, that crying all through the service, all through the service. Went home, eating dinner. Oh, mother, he didn't feel good. Got up from the table and started to the bathroom. Fell in the floor dead with a heart attack. That's how quick he went. He was in church an hour and a half before. Well, I missed him. Missed him. But I'm just telling you, I am not fatherless. I'm not an orphan. I'm as sure I have a father as I've ever been in my life. I'm as sure, and he's a heavenly father. Loves me even more than my natural father ever could have hoped to have loved me. And I never doubted his love. Never one time in my life did I doubt his love. And I do not doubt my heavenly father's love. He cares. He cares. Praise God. So when you pray, get down with that assurance. You're not coming to Almighty God way off. You're coming to your Heavenly Father. Now, God in the Old Testament was Father in creation. And in creation only. Never referred to by relationship, by Abraham, nor no one else as a Heavenly Father. But here we are in this glorious New Testament age, this New Testament church, where you're privileged to be born into the family of God. Take upon you His name. You've taken His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel good telling you, dear people, this may not mean a thing to you today. May not mean a thing to you right now. You may wish I'd get off of this thought right now. You believe it? But wait till you get down there on the field somewhere where you're nowhere around any of those that's associated with you in the faith. You're by yourself. Then when you pray, it's going to be comforting to know that your Heavenly Father is in hearing distance of you and glad to hear from you. Glad to hear from you. Glad to hear from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Early one morning, the doorbell rang. I went to the door. Precious, precious old man. And then there in the door, his wife and some of the children attended church. I invited him in. He said, Brother Glass, said, Leroy is in jail. Spent last night in jail. One of his sons wasn't Christian, and he was just a mischievous young man. He never did anything to go to court trial or anything like that, but just he's in and out of the city jail overnight, just for little misdemeanors and so forth. I heard some of the church people saying, Brother and Sister Dawkins ought to let Leroy lay it out a few days and learn him a lesson. Here the old man come. Leroy's in jail. I invited him in and told him to have a seat and drank him a cup of coffee. And I said, Brother Dawkins, I'm just thinking maybe if you would just let Leroy lay this time out, it won't be but three, four, 5 days. Just let him lay it out. And might learn him a lesson. And I never will forget that old man dropped his head. I could see that old bald spot up there now. And he didn't try to fight him back. His head down. I'm sitting in front of him. Tears begin to fall from his eyes off on the carpet. He didn't try to push him back or nothing. He just sat there. His head down, shedding tears. Arnie looked up and it running down his cheek. He said, "Brother Glass, I can understand you feeling that way. I can understand you feeling that way. And if you feel that way, there's possibly others feeling the same way. And I can understand them feeling that way. But Brother Glass, that's my son." That hit me right between the eyes. I said, "Come on, Brother Dawkins, let's go." And I went and helped his boy get out of jail. That's my son. I feel different about him than anybody else in the world. And whose son are you today? Whose son are you today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. I wish this would have been preached 50 years ago. I remember the day when anyone in the church that received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, if they made a mistake, if they erred, I don't mean falling into deep sin, I'm just talking about make a mistake. They erred in a minor way, we might say. They felt like they were backslid. And most of the church felt the same way. And they gave them the cold shoulder. Out in the world they'd go. Heard Brother Norris say one time, "We are a very peculiar people in more ways than one." Talking about Brother S.G. Norris. He said, "You let one of our members make a little mistake, we'll ostracize them, we'll push them aside, we'll ignore them, and just treat them cold and mean until they leave the church. And when they leave the church, we'll start fasting and praying for them to come back." And that's what he said. And I've known of a lot of people to do just that. If they show a little of that concern before they leave, they wouldn't leave. And I wish this verse would have been preached way back there, than what I'm about to refer to now. John writes in his Epistle, First Epistle of John, "I write unto you, little children, that you sin not." I'm writing unto you that you sin not. We are against you sinning. The Bible is against sin, and we teach against sin. And so I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, capital F, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you make a mistake, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, capital F, who will forgive you quicker than your Father will forgive you. What about the prodigal son? Who was a-watching for him to return home? The elder brother? No, the elder brother didn't want him to come home. He got kind of sore that he did come home and that he was so graciously received. Who was it that was watching for his appearing? It was the Father. It was the Father. And the Father, when he saw his son coming, "Go kill the fatted calf." He didn't say a fatted calf. He made provisions for that son when he left. When he left, he put a calf up in the stall to fatten him to serve on his return. And that calf was called the fatted calf. Not a fatted calf. The fatted calf. And when he saw his son coming, the first orders he gave, "Go kill the fatted calf. I put him up and fattened him to kill to serve when my son came home. Oh, I have a Father.
Hallelujah.
I have a Father. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Praise God. Ever lives to mediate and intercede. Ever lives to do justice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
He, that Heavenly Father is our mediator. There is one God. There's one God. Then there is a mediator between God.